Thank you, Lord, for bringing us together here in this place, this space. We ask, Lord, to be with those brothers and sisters in Christ who cannot freely come to a building like this, that are meeting this morning secretly because of persecution for their faith in you, Jesus. I pray that you be with us, that we would not take these freedoms for granted that we have. I pray that we would do our parts as citizens of this country. Pray for our leaders, continuing to do what we can do in the midst of our communities, our state, and our nation, in supporting and defending liberty and justice for all. I pray now, Lord, as we come to you at this time of hearing your word preached, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Before I went to seminary, I attended Oklahoma University. And one of the professors that I had, on the first day of class, we would receive our syllabus, and there would be a little bio about the professor. And I noticed that he said in his bio that he had used to be a Catholic priest. And so I was very interested to talk to him after class to kind of hear, you know, his story. And so after class, I went up to him and introduced myself. We were living in Iceland at the time. I was enlisted in the Air Force there. Wasn't a chaplain there. And just asked him, I said, I see where you were a Catholic priest. And he said, yes, I was. I said, so why did you stop becoming, you know, why did you stop being a priest or practicing? And he said, because I realized that Jesus was a sinner. And I was pretty taken back by that, especially coming from a Catholic priest who goes to school, to seminary for years and years and years. I said, well, why do you say that how did you conclude that he was a sinner? And he said that he was a pacifist, like Gandhi, Mahatma Gandhi, right? Where there is never it is okay to rise up and have war. That's basically what a pacifist is. And anyway, I think of that because we have to read the Bible in its context. And if you don't, you almost see Jesus as two different people. Because in one instance, you see Jesus saying to pray for those who persecute you and to love your enemies. Well, that's nothing in the world that says that, right? And then in another sense, he says, if you are slapped on one cheek, and you are to turn the other cheek. Right? And then, today, in this gospel reading, we see, in John chapter 2, we see a different Jesus, it seems. Huh? That's why it's so important to read the Bible, but also to read it in the proper context. And what could be very helpful for that is to have a study Bible. It can help you to find the context of what you were reading. And then also meet together, ask questions and those kinds of things about those things that maybe are harder for you to understand. But the point here is context is so important. Which brings us to John chapter 2. You can turn back with me if you'd like to follow along. Where Jesus was in this special place on the temple grounds called the Court of the Gentiles. Anyone, no matter their origin, background, or race, or ethnicity, could come to this place and to be considered in the temple. And they could worship the true God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They didn't have to be Jewish. It was on the very outside perimeter of the temple. but they were still considered contemporary. And so, in order to get into the temple, you have to walk through the court of the Gentiles. So, Jesus was going to the temple this day. He stepped into the court of Gentiles and it sounded and smelled more like a sale barn than a place of solitude and of peace. God's holy house seemed more like a shopping mall on Black Friday than a place of prayer and meditation. So Jesus took action. Because his people were not able to receive his gifts. The Jewish authorities should have been happy that Jesus cleared all of this inappropriate activity that was going on in the temple. But instead, if you look at verse 8, they ask him, verse 18, what sign do you show us for doing these things? Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. When he said these words, he was doing more than giving a sign to the temple authorities. Jesus' words were more than a figure of speech because he is the ultimate temple. After all, the temple is the place where God makes himself known to his people. And Jesus is God in the flesh. And he eventually allowed those authorities to abuse the temple of his body. After they arrested him, beat him, and then nailed him to a cross, they did everything to destroy the temple of his body. And in this way, Jesus produced the cleansing agent that cleans away all of our sins in his holy, precious blood and in his innocent suffering and death. But that's not all. Jesus continued to say, in 3 days, I will raise it up. Which is a prophecy, really. It's a sign of the resurrection, of his resurrection from the dead, that we too have that sure and certain hope that our sins are gone. So during this Lenten season, Jesus calls us to recognize our desperation, our need for his cleansing of our heart's filthy sin. He calls us to allow his right and just law to show us our sins and then lead us to repentance, confession, and receiving his love, his grace, and his mercy, his forgiveness. And God is desperate for you. You are dying for by him. He is desperate to clean your heart. To clean your heart once and for all. And that cleansing agent is the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, that lives in you. The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, so that you can be a temple of the Holy Spirit. And you are not your own. You've been bought with a price. So you can glorify God in your body. Your body and your soul is washed clean and pure, making you righteous. A righteous one that is his forever. Rather than chasing you out of his presence with a whip, he took the whip to his back for you. That you can dine here in this place at the table of the Lord regularly until he calls you home to be with him in his physical presence. So dear friends, this Lenten season that we would continue this walk, this journey, our theme for the Lenten season is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. It's no coincidence that our Bible class is going through the same text and talking about these different facets If you read, I really encourage you to make Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 16, just to reflect on that the rest of this Lent season. The Apostle Paul is very specific in there of the works of the flesh that we all have to deal with. Jesus compares those things to in a parable, talking about the seeds planted in the soil, the weeds, the thorns, the thistles, the path, the hard soil. Think about those things in your life, the works of the flesh. Paul's very specific in there about this. But he's also very specific about the fruit of the Spirit that is planted in you. That's planted in you to grow. And as the fruit of the Spirit grows, it pushes out those weeds. It takes ownership of that soil. So that we would continue to walk with the Spirit, in step with the Spirit. And to do that, that it begins with repentance and receiving His forgiveness. And all through that, just as Jesus brought His temple back from the dead, so also will He come one day to raise and restore all of our temples back to life. And on that day, all of these things that we face that have to deal with sin, death, and Satan will be gone once and for all. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for being together as the family of God this day and the rest of this week as we face a new week again, that your mercy to us is new every morning. And great is your faithfulness to us, even when we are not faithful. I pray, Lord, as I said earlier, that we would continue to take your word throughout this Lent season and beyond, to be able to hide your word in our heart, even that we would not sin against you. That you've given us a conscience, that you've actually wrote your law on our hearts, that we know what's right and what's wrong, that there are no excuses. That's from our reading from Exodus chapter 20 this morning. Yet we also remember from Romans chapter 5, that while we were sinners, that you, Christ, came into our world, that you died for us. That yes, one day we all face death daily, but yet we do not have to fear the consequences of our sin. That Jesus, you went to the cross for that, that you were punished, that you were beaten and flogged and whipped, humiliated publicly. All for us. But even more than that, you were forsaken by God for us. And we thank you for that gift that you give to each of us in our baptism. And we receive it by faith. We receive it through your body and your blood, even this morning, cleansing us, that cleansing agent. And we thank you for that. Amen.